feeling very well. So Mama jumped into this, into the piano bench seat. And so we're very grateful for that. Thank you so much. Yes. One of the songs that she played just a little bit ago is one that she has composed herself. So we are fortunate to have you. There is another song coming up, Cleanse Me. I wasn't as familiar with that. So I asked Diane when it's time to sing that one, she will play through that first and then we'll sing it. So we'll get a little familiar with the melody and Denny and Dina. Thank you for helping us too. Our call to worship is Romans 8, 5, and 9. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Paul, when he wrote this, divided people into two categories: those who would let themselves be controlled by their sinful natures, and those who follow after the Holy Spirit. All of us would be in the first category if Jesus had not offered us a way out. Once we have said yes to Jesus, we will want to continue following him because his ways bring life and peace. Daily, we must continue to center our lives on God. We have heard this again and again, but we gather together to worship and stay strong as individuals and as a congregation to follow our Lord. So, welcome to this fourth Lenten service as we continue to move forward in God's direction. Book of Galatians is the charter of Christian freedom. In this letter, Paul proclaims the reality of our liberty in Christ, freedom from the law and the power of sin, and freedom to serve our living Lord. Galatians 2:20 is a letter written by Paul, included in the book of Galatians. It was not addressed to any specific body of believers, as his other letters were, and it was probably circulated to several churches in Galatia. And so I just thought we would read this together on the PowerPoint. This is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I believe in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave his life for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. A very powerful statement. And if you would pray with me. Father, help us always to remember and to share the message that the years of Jesus' ministry
Can everybody hear me? Perfect. I'm going to move this down. Perfect. Well, good evening. It's a pleasure to be here again on Wednesday night. And I decided to take an attempt at talking about the nails that Christ was hung on the cross with. And I believe I titled the message, If These Nails Could Talk. But I choose a couple of verses early on that I gave Becky and then kind of changed my mind, but I'm still going to use them because they're still extremely powerful. One came from 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then in Mark 1:15, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And when you look at, you know, all through Lent, it's about repentance and forgiving. Maybe I sound like a broken record, but come to the Lord, ask for forgiveness and repent. And when those Roman soldiers took these nails, and I'm going to pass them around, took these nails and and started pounding them into Christ's hands and feet. And these are railroad nails, but a friend of mine gave them to me today. When I was looking into the best recollection or best guess, they estimated the nails to be about 7 inches in length. And those are probably six, I don't know. I didn't measure them, but close enough. You can't buy those at Menards. So I thought, what better visual than to have something to pass around? And I think about that as when they, you know, those Roman soldiers, they were assigned to do their duty. You know, they probably didn't want to be doing their duty. I don't know a lot of people that want to nail somebody to the cross or want to participate in killing somebody, but they did their job. You know, they didn't want to be killed themselves by saying, no, I'm not going to do this. But I think about those nails and the pain that Christ went through that night. It had to have been, or that day, excuse me, it had to have been excruciating. And there's different accounts through that that they talk about. Some people say it was in the palm of the hand, but others say, well, it had to have been through the wrist because the palm, you know, his hands would have ripped out. And can you imagine that spread like this? and having that your hands rip through that, or pounding right through this, you know, there's a tendon that runs right through your wrist there, and how excruciating that had to have been. But Christ did that for us. He knew he needed to come to the cross and to take on all that excruciating pain. And as we look through the Bible, and it talks, it's usually in John's account that he talks about the actual nails. Mark and, I believe it's Mark and Luke, they kind of skip around that, and or Mark and Matthew maybe, but John, he actually talks about the nails. And you know, some people heard of Doubting Thomas, you know, when Jesus reappears to him, he doesn't, you know, and the disciples and Thomas wasn't there, you know, and they tell him, well, Jesus came back, right? And Thomas said, didn't really want to believe him, you know, Doubting Thomas. But he said, till I put my hands in those holes and in his chest and or in his feet, he didn't want to believe that Christ was back. And I can't imagine those nails and the hole that it would have left and the pain that, like I said, Christ did that for us. But John's account, you know, talks of the nails. It says, so the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And I know we get hindsight, right? The Bible was written 2,000 years ago. Jesus died for us 2,000 years ago. But we can still be doubting Thomas's too. Because, you know, it's easy to lose track. It's easy to forget everything that Christ went through for us. When looking into about the nails, there was a little bit I looked at. You know, some of it was some prophetic fulfillment from the Old Testament. One was from Psalm 22:16. It says, the time has come, dogs surround me and pack villains encircles me. They will pierce my hands and my feet. Well, John talks about Jesus being pierced from his hands. We've seen the depictions. And then Zechariah 12:10, mourning for the one they pierced. Excuse me if I get my notes correct here. And then it says, and I will pour out of the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on to me, and the one they have pierced, they will mourn for him as one mourns for the only child and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves their firstborn son. So that was from the Old Testament coming forth. You know, and then we obviously know in the New Testament, Jesus goes to the cross for us. It fulfills the Old Testament for us because Jesus had to come down to earth to save us. I mean, he could have stayed in heaven where it was very, I imagine it being very glorious up in heaven. And he could have stayed there pretty comfy, right, with God. And yet he said, no, I've got to do this. God said, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you as a baby to come down to earth and to walk with men. And we talk about the triune God, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He truly walked this earth as man. And then he, you know, passes on the cross, and then he sends his Holy Spirit to anoint us. And so when we look at that, the three nails, is that symbolic of the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Very well could be. And there's so much evidence of love and grace when we talk about going to the cross for us. I can't imagine. And I can't imagine the Roman guards as he's pounding those nails in what they're thinking. You know, then the Bible talks about the one soldier after Jesus screams out, and I believe it was the clouds darken, and he said, well, surely this was the Son of God. But pounding those nails through a human hand as he's strapped to that cross and before they raise it, it's just crazy to me. But yet, he knew what his calling was. So much evidence of love and grace within those three nails. It was his gift to us to come and take on his sin for me, for every one of you, to come and to take it on for us. You know, and then there's some other interpretations that I found, love and not nails. You know, it's not merely just the physical nails, but it was so much love for humanity that he had to come here and to take this on. And I don't want to get into the debate whether it was in the palm of the hand or the wrist. To me, it seems miserable that Christ had to go through that for us. But that was the way that they did crucifixions back then. You know, you died on basically a tree. And that was how they were going to make it miserable for you, because they felt that that was what they had to do. So we talked about, you know, John's gospel, you know, having the evidence for the nails. And then Matthew and Mark were the ones that kind of the silent matter. And Luke includes a verse, probably implies the use of nails through the crucifixion, where he says, "See my hands, that it is I." These nails mark as a symbolic and public reminder of the price that Jesus paid to bear God's wrath and right humanity's wrongs. God knew there was no way to save us again. He first sent the flood with Noah, and then he realized he's not going to do that. He's not going to destroy the earth again. He's going to send his Son to us. And we talk a lot about, during Lent especially, to repent and come to the Lord. And I've said it, and I'll probably say it again, but no matter how far we are away from Christ, how far we've rolled down the hill, how far we've gone away from Christ, we're just one step away, just to come back and say, Lord, I need you. And that is what he wants. He's constantly pursuing us because he loves us. He has so much love for us. And I want to paint one more picture with the nails, but there was one cross and three nails, but it equals forgiven. We are forgiven from our sins. We are, you know, his children of God, and we will always be his children of God. We just need to follow him. Dive into his word and keep focusing through on him and all the miracles and everything that he can provide us. You know, the piercing is an interesting quote I found. The piercing is supremely ironic. If anybody should be pierced, it should be the enemies of God and enemies of Israel. But yet our Lord and Savior took that piercing. You know, and then the one Roman soldier, you know, he even went and pierced his body cavity. But Christ did that for us. And we know that the better part is he conquered the tomb on Sunday when Mary and Martha show up and the tomb is empty. He conquered death for us. He conquered those sins for us. And I just wanted to paint that picture of what it could look like, or what it looked like, and how much love had to be in him to go through that much pain and misery for us 2,000 years later that he didn't even know yet. I mean, he knew us because he knows every hair on our head, which I don't have very many, so he didn't have to learn too much there. But there's so much love there that God has for us. Let me go ahead and close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you to say thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us, Lord. And we know that every blessing is from you. I pray for this church. I pray for these people here in the pews and those that couldn't make it tonight. I pray that they find a way to grow closer to you and build their relationship with you, Lord. And we just say thank you. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And let's stand as we repeat the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And our song, He Touched Me. Thank you to the Gaithers. What a beautiful song they wrote. Our benediction is from 2 John, and it's verse 3. Grace and mercy and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.